Welcome to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow, Senior Pastor of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. 3 John is an epistle written to the well-beloved, or you could say, dear friend Gaius, a church leader, an individual rather than a church congregation. 3 John is a short epistle but addresses some very important issues in the church of that day and today. It contains one of the most misquoted verses in the New Testament, verse 2. This is part 2 of a message that we broadcast on Friday by Dr. Kinlow. Let's listen and learn.
And so what he was saying, he said, if you got some oxen and they're turning the grist mill and they're grinding up the corn, what he says is it's a sin to deny the ox some of the corn he's grinding. And so he's saying, you know, those preachers who labor hard in word and doctrine, he says they are worthy of double honor. And he says the laborer is worthy of his hire, or the laborer is worthy of his wages. Evidently, when these preachers and teachers came to the church, Gaius attended. Gaius was faithful in making sure their material and financial needs were met. This was even true of those who John sent who were strangers to Gaius. In other words, they were men sent by John, but Gaius did not know them. The only thing he knew was John, the beloved, sent them. John knew them to it that their material needs were met. And that's why John says, and especially for strangers. These men went back and reported to John how gracious Gaius had been and meeting their needs. And that's why John says in verse 6, and they have testified to your love before the church. And so when they came, Gaius saw to it that their needs were met. And they go back and tell John, listen, that Gaius, he's the real deal. He really loves the Lord. And this is why. Two things I want you to see in regards to Gaius. Seeing to it that these preachers' needs were being met. And they are as follows. Number one. John says Gaius was acting faithfully in accomplishing this for the brethren in Christ. Verse 5, he says, beloved, you are acting faithfully. It was an act of faithfulness to God on the part of Gaius that these ministers of the gospels, their financial and material needs were being met. Let me say it again. It was an act of faithfulness to God. Notice how there's a lot less amens today as it was last week. Amen. Because when you start talking about money, people's real God comes to the surface. And they get quiet. But it was an act of faithfulness to God when Gaius saw to it that these preachers' needs were being met. And the same is true today, and that is, it is the fact that it is an act of faithfulness to the Lord to see to it that the man of God who is faithful in ministering the word of God, his material needs are being met. Many people divorce or compartmentalize their relationship with the Lord and how they meet the man of God's material needs. But the truth is, when you respond to making sure the material needs of the man of God are being met, it is an act of faithfulness to God. Yes. It's amazing to me, and I'm going to move on. It's amazing to me that in the last letter, John has to tell these people who not to support. Remember, there were certain men, he said, don't even give them a greeting. Don't even invite them into your house. So it seemed as though they were supporting those men. Real man of God come through, please. It isn't amazing that basically we face the same thing today. T.D. Jakes ain't lacking nothing. He's a millionaire times 50 probably. 15 years ago they said his net worth was $28 million. Fred Price brags of having $25 million just in his checking account. And all of these men are teaching and preaching false doctrine. They don't have a problem. But the real guy struggling, He's hard up. And I'm saying it's a reflection on the people of God. It is an act of faithfulness to God to see that the real man of God, his needs are being met. When a congregation is concerned and therefore sees to it that the man of God's needs are being met, it is an act of faithfulness to God. This is one of the reasons I said in the introduction to this series last Sunday that the way a person or a congregation treats the man of God, it is indicative of their relationship with God. For when one sees to it that the material needs of the man of God are being met, it is an act of faithfulness to your God. The opposite has to also be true. That is this. When a person or a congregation is unresponsive or could care less as to how and whether the man of God who is faithful and laboring for the people and the word of God, his needs are being met, it is not being faithful to God. We'll see next Sunday, it even goes further that those who could care less about the man of God, and they go on and try to persuade others to care less about the man of God. That group, John says, they don't even know God. Those are some Christians, and you can talk to Brother Keith on this one, who have had false conversions. Amen. So John says that you got a real man of God there, this Diotrephes, and he wouldn't support him, and he didn't permit anybody else to do so. And John says it's because he has not seen God. He does not know God. This is why I said it's such a deep spiritual book. The way you respond to the real man of God, it speaks of your relationship with God. How you respond to the faithful pastor, teacher of God's word reveals much about your relationship to God, or whether you really even have a genuine relationship with the Lord. Number two, Gaius faithful. Gaius being faithful and seeing to it that the men whom John sent the minister of the word of God needs are being met. It was love. For when Gaius did this, these ministers went back and reported to John of Gaius' love. That's why it says they have testified to your love before the church. And I believe first and foremost, this is a love for God. Because you can only respond in love toward the brethren if you love God first.
Yes.
And so when a person or a congregation sees to it that the man of God who is faithful in the word of God, when they see to it that his needs are being met, it is indicative of their love for God. The opposite has to also be true. That is this. If you don't give a hoot about the man of God, it is indicative of your lack of love for God. Let me move on. Verse 6. And they have testified to your love before the church. Notice what John says. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. The word well there is the Greek word kalos. It means excellent. Therefore, John says, when it comes to financially and materially supporting these ministers and preachers of the word of God, he says, Gaius, you will do excellent to support these men by sending them on their way in a manner worthy of God. He says, Gaius, you'll do well. You'll be doing excellent to send these men on their way, as the King James says, in a godly sort. What John is literally saying is this. He is saying, what John is literally saying is Gaius would do well, or he would be doing excellent, to send these preachers on their way in regards to material or financial things. And he says, do it in a way worthy of God, or just as if they were giving the Lord himself the support. That's what it means. It means send them on their way in a manner that would be worthy of even God taking whatever you are giving. Amen. Send them on their way that even it would be worthy of Jesus if he was the one getting the support. Let me say two things about this, because I'm uncomfortable with all of this. Number one, supporting the preacher and teacher of the word of God in an excellent way, which is worthy of God, or in a way just as if they are supporting Christ himself, It is different depending on the size and financial status of each local church. Every congregation, every board of trustees, or however you run your church, needs to truthfully figure out what this is for their local church and then do all that they can to meet that need. Number two, I really believe there are congregations and boards of trustees or whatever which do attempt to do as excellent as they can when it comes to meeting the man of God's material needs, but they are not enough. And I say this because it is a known statistical fact that pastors are the least paid of any profession, even though they work more than most. They work above the average work week. They're on call 24/7. They counsel. They visit the sick. They mediate between folks in extremely uncomfortable situations. They are an ear to listening to all kind of stuff. And I'm telling you, some of it, it is quite burdensome. Because the man of God, a real man of God, he has a shepherd's heart. And when you tell him some stuff, I'm telling you from experience, he can't get it out of his mind. And most importantly, there are many who really labor in the Word of God in order to give their congregation the best preaching and teaching they can with the spiritual gifts and talents and abilities God has given to them. It is a known fact that pastors suffer from depression more than any other profession. They are generally disrespected more than any other profession. Most folks will not tell their doctor or dentist how to treat their diabetes or high blood pressure or how to do a root canal. I've never went to my dentist and said, this is the way I want you to do this root canal. I know you're a doctor and a dentist and all that, but let me tell you how to get this done. Most people would not do that. But they will confront the pastor sometimes in the most disrespectful way and tell them in so many words, you're stupid and you don't know how to preach and teach, but I do. Now, I have questioned my doctor or my dentist. Why are you writing this out and why are you giving it to me? And I've asked my dentist, tell me exactly what you're going to do. But I was very kind in asking it. Because in a few minutes, he's going to be up in my mouth with a drill. Amen. So I wanted to I ain't trying to insult you, doctor, but, you know, I just, what are you doing first and what's in that? Because, you know, okay, but I want to treat him right because, you know, in a few minutes, he's going to be good and I don't want him to slip. Amen. But I've never told them this is how you going to do this root canal. And doctor, let me tell you how to read the results of my blood work. So it's not wrong to question the pastor and say, why are you doing this? Why do you say this is what the Bible means? I thought it meant this, that there's nothing wrong with questioning the man of God to get an answer. But see, people will confront the pastor, even the one who is a seasoned pastor, and tell them in so many words, you're stupid. And I can do your job just as well as you do. Many faithful pastors do all these things and tolerate all this, and at the same time, they are shamefully compensated by their congregations. I know pastors whose board or congregation determines their compensation based upon how much their wife works at her job. I don't know any other job where the employer asks its employee how much your wife made. Because we're going to figure that in when we determine how much to pay you. I've never heard of a union saying, oh, everybody in this shop, you need to turn in how much your wife makes or spouse makes so we can figure out how much we want to. But many pastors suffer this indignity and they are still faithful in their pastoral tasks. I know pastors whose salary is adjusted each month according to what the bills of the church are. In other words, if the gas and the water is above what the board budgeted, they reduce the pastor's salary every month to pay these bills. There are some congregations which really believe the way to keep their pastor humble is to compensate them the least amount possible. They believe it is spiritual that the pastor has to buy all of his clothes from Salvation Army or some other secondhand store. Or they believe it is spiritual that our pastor drives a car and we can hear it a half a mile away. Amen. It's spiritual because when our pastor leaves church, we can smell the fumes from his car for 20 minutes. Amen. I'm going to be authentic this morning. Truthful with you. The same person who offered me the poison catfish I talked about several Sundays ago called a meeting with me one Wednesday evening before a Bible study and told me what I do as a pastor was not even as important as working at the Timken Company or Republic Steel or Nationwide or whatever. They went on to tell me if the members of the Word of God Community Church gave extra money to build this building we are in right now, they told me I had no right to be compensated for what I do, and therefore I needed to go back out and do a secular work and get a job like everybody else and still pastor this church. About a year after we got into this building, they wanted to get paid for their ministry. And they told me the reason why they deserve to get paid. They said, "You getting paid, ain't you?" And they also told me, "I don't like being cut out of the money." I told them, "Well, I'll set up a meeting with the board. Or better, I'll give you space this Sunday, and you can tell the congregation what you just told me." And I said, "If they roll with it, I'll go with it." They chickened out. Needless to say, let me move on. I'm moving on. And I'm just being real today. And I'm telling you this for a reason, because we'll get to it next week. And I'm really not going far enough, because John names Diotrephes. So I guess I'm being disobedient, because I ain't going that far. Same individual called a meeting with me and said, the day we had that meeting over at Merritt Street, when we all decided we're going to give to get us over the hump to build this building. I know all of y'all remember that day. Called a meeting and told me I shook the congregation down. And then went on to ask me how much of that money did I steal. Sitting right on that bench right there for Wednesday Bible study. Now, they don't know. I really must be saved. Amen. And I'm telling you, I was waiting. Don't say nothing. I was just saying under my breath, don't you say nothing about Sister Kendall. Because then I'm going to lose all my religion. Amen. And they're going to have to call the sheriff out here. Amen. Because you're going to get hurt this Wednesday evening. I usually keep all this stuff internally. That's why pastors are, most of us are half crazy. Amen. Because we don't share nothing. But needless to say, this person did not believe the pastor or the preacher of the Word of God should be compensated in a manner worthy of God, or a manner just as if Christ himself was the one who was being compensated, but in a way which let me know I'm worthless. What I do as a calling and a profession is worthless. And basically, I'm a leech sucking the life out of the people. Now, I must admit that there's only been one person to approach me like this in my 25 years of pastoring. But there are many pastors who experience this kind of thing often, yet they are faithful in spite of never being rightly and justly compensated. However, the truth of the matter is this. If a preacher of the Word of God is faithful in the pulpit and in his ministry to the people, His needs should be met in a manner worthy of God himself, or just as if the people were meeting the needs of Jesus himself. Let me move on. Verse 7. For they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. This verse explains why the man whose calling and profession is the word of God, needs should be met in a manner worthy of God. And there are two of them. Number one, for they went out for the sake of the name, John says. The pastor or preacher whose calling and profession is to preach the gospel and to minister the word of God, his needs should be met in a manner worthy of God, or just as if you are supporting Christ himself, because they have went out for the sake of the name, or for his name's sake, King James says. The name, of course, is the name of Jesus, the Son of the true and living God. The Father has given his Son Christ a name which is above all others. For Acts 4:12 says, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. You know, there are some men who have been called by God to preach the gospel and minister the word of God. And if they are faithful to their call, they have went out in the sake, or for the sake of the name. The only name through which people can be saved or go to heaven and stay out of hell. What this means is the man of God who has given himself full time to the gospel of Christ and the word of God, he is influencing men and women in a unique way, which is distinct from the lay person concerning eternal matters. For they are ministering full time for the sake of the only name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. Men of God whose calling and profession is the word of God preach every Sunday, and thus they have an influence on an innumerable number of people constantly. If a preacher faithfully ministers the word of God for the sake of the name of Christ to 100 people every week, the spiritual food they receive into their minds and into their hearts, you need to understand, it influences everyone you come in contact with throughout the week. And so the layman also has an influence on others for the sake of the name, but not in this unique way. For the layman is not preaching and teaching every week to multitudes of people. You need to understand, the man of God, well, if he's a man of God, he's going to do much good to the work through the people. Amen. But the opposite is also, if you get a jackleg up here, he can do a lot of damage. Amen. So they went out for the sake of the name. Now, if that's not an incentive for you to see to it, they went out for the sake of the name. If that's not an incentive for God's people to see to it that the man of God's material and financial needs are being met in a manner worthy of God. If that won't do it, they have went out for the sake of the name. Nothing else will. Then number two, accepting nothing from the Gentiles, John says. The second reason John says give. But the second reason John gives us as to the reason why these ministers of the gospel were to be supported in a manner worthy of God was they were accepting nothing from the Gentiles. NIV says, receiving no help from the pagans. These ministers that John talks about, they were full time for Christ. They had went out for the sake of the name of Jesus. They ministered to the spiritual needs of those who knew Christ as Savior. Therefore, it would have been ridiculous for them to receive support from the world or those who did not know Christ. But from the churches to which they ministered, and these churches were to support them in a manner worthy of God, faithful pastors and ministers of the word of God, their livelihood should be supported by the churches to which they give their life's blood, for they receive nothing from the pagans. They don't receive anything from the world. And I can tell you why they're not going to receive none from God, because if they're really doing their job to the world, they are an enemy. Therefore, his living should be received from the offerings and gifts of the people of God. And these offerings and gifts should be in a manner worthy of God himself.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow, Senior Pastor of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Understanding the Scriptures is a broadcast of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Join us tomorrow at this same time for more Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow.